Good afternoon and welcome. You're listening to The Word from the Trenches on Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches, 89.5 Micro FM, Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson. Simulcast on IndianaFreedomTalkRadio.com, the Grow Your Own Channel, 107.5 FM, Greenville, South Carolina, the Jalapeno Channel, 87.9 FM, Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and numerous other micro broadcasts and webcasts across our great nation. Our website is FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com. We open the broadcast with Trenches by Pop Evil. It is, let's see here, it's Thoroughly Confusing Thursday. It's the 21st day of September 2017. It's 12:04 Pacific time. I'm your host, Henry Shively. This is a live call-in program, and listeners are encouraged to join in the conversation. If you'd like to call in, the number is 641-715-3610. A nice lady will come on the line and ask you for the conference room you want, and that would be 220029 and then the pound sign. Again, that's 641-715-3610, and then enter 220029 and hit that pound sign. Of course, you have to punch in *6 to unmute if you want to come up on the air and mix it up with me today. Well, it's currently 45 degrees here, 4,200 feet in the high Cascades of northern Jefferson, and we're looking for a blistering high of 51 degrees today for the Klamath Basin. And we had a dusting of snow in the mountains this morning and 29 degrees on the last day of summer. Wow. Anyways, guys, I see David's on the line, and so I think he had a few words he wanted to say, so we'll just open up with that, and then we'll follow with an article when we return from these messages from our most outstanding sponsors. You're listening to The Word from the Trenches on PBFTT.
Bones here. Are you prepared to deal with medical issues in a disastrous situation? What would you do if medical help was not on the way? The Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook is over 400 pages of how-to advice written in plain English. You'll learn to handle all the likely medical issues you'll encounter in times of trouble. And it's not just the conventional medical wisdom. We talk about alternatives like essential oils, medicinal herbs, and other home remedies. Make the Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook a part of your survival library. And don't forget, Nurse Amy and I have medical kits, suture materials, instructional DVDs, and other items that'll help you keep it together even if things fall apart. Check them out, as well as 200 articles on medical preparedness, survival gardening, and other alternative remedies on our website at www.doomandbloom.net. Never think doom and gloom, think doom and bloom.
Bringing you the word from the trenches, please give a big round of applause for Henry Shively.
All righty then. David, are you there? David? *6 to unmute. Well, David indicated, I see, Laura said he was on the call-in line, and he said he was had a few words to say, but I can't squeeze him and make him talk. One more time. Going once. Going twice. All righty then. U.S. coalition forces bombarded Raqqa, Syria, every 8 minutes in August. This is from Sputnik. It was sent in by Brandon Ward for discussion on FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com. The U.S.-led coalition to fight Daesh rained 5,775 bombshells, shells and missiles down on Raqqa in August in their effort to oust the group from Syria, Air Wars reported Wednesday. Really? No, their effort is to overthrow the regime, to hand Syria over to their masters in Israel, and that's all there is to it. I mean, the goddamn, the, you know, back in during Reagan, you know, with the Sandinistas, it was called Black Ops. They snuck around, man. They, you know, the secret drug deals and arms deals and funneling the weapons down to the Sandinistas for their Black Op wars. Now they're doing this shit right out in our faces, man. Illegal. Goddamn, if there is ever such a thing as an illegal invasion of a foreign country, an illegal war, illegal occupation. The averages to roughly one munition every 8 minutes for 31 days straight, and on a country against which the United States has never formally declared war. However, it's no secret that U.S. special forces and clandestine operations aren't exactly in Syria just to help pass out bottled water. No, they're there to overthrow a government, to hand it the resources of that country over to the Jews and goddamn Israel, period. By comparison, the U.S. Air Force dropped 503 munitions on Afghan soil during the same month. Air Force Central Command data showed. So this is just a blitz to take goddamn Syria. We are the evil empire trying to take over the goddamn world for our Zionist masters. And most munitions ever fired upon, and the most, let's see, sorry about that. Afghan soil during the same month, Air Force Central Command data showed, and the most munitions ever fired upon Mosul, Iraq in the fight to win back that city back from Daesh only reached 5,500 in any given month of the campaign. This is all, I mean, this is just what they did to Libya. They don't talk about Libya. I mean, you know, you don't hear about Libya. I mean, who's running Libya? Oh, that's right. The goddamn Al-Qaeda.
Henry, are you able to hear me?
Oh, there you are. Okay, David, step on in, buddy.
Yeah, I was just having some technical difficulties here. Just real quick on the whole series, if you ever want to get a good perspective, look at Assad's wife. She's an investment banker. Look at her speeches. Look at what she's doing when she's visiting soldiers and stuff like that. I got a really strong gut feeling that Assad is part of this, and it's really about a mass culling. I don't think he's a force against Israel. He barely ever mentions Israel. And if you look at the Russian relationship to Israel, I think it's all a game, and I think they're just doing a mass culling of their own people.
But the Christians therein.
That's what I have to say on the subject.
The Christians therein, anyway. Anyways, did you want to say anything about the fact that you're not broadcasting anymore?
Oh, I'm kind of, it's breaking up a little bit. Are you still there?
I am.
Okay, well, hopefully it won't break up too much more. Okay, so I want to apologize to the listeners for stopping the show. It might just be temporary, but I'm kind of under the gun with Pinal County and the Desert Vista Sanitary Group trying to put a lien on my house. So October is the ideal month to sell in Arizona because of the weather and the snowbirds and all that stuff. So I have to kind of strike while the iron's hot before they actually get this lien put through. I mean, I called them up and I tried to see what kind of lien it was, and they said they needed to contact their attorney because they didn't know. And I asked them what law they're operating under, and all they could really cite was the Arizona revised statutes that allowed for the creation of Desert Vista Sanitary Group, but they couldn't cite a law that allowed the city of Casa Grande to create an account in my name without my signature and then rack up debt in my name and then put a lien on my house. So I don't want to give them the chance to actually get something going because I know how corrupt the court system is. If I try to go into court and fight in an appropriate manner, they're probably just going to railroad me. So I don't even want to give them a chance. So I figure I'll just get the house sold as soon as possible. So I'm in the process of packing everything up, preparing it for photographs, you know, doing the touch-up paints, raking the yards and everything, and just going full bore on it till I can get it sold. So I'm still a little torn about whether I want to move to Mississippi or not. I really like the South Haven area, south of Memphis. It was really nice. Halfway between Jackson and Memphis, there was a small town called Granada, and that had a beautiful property on it. It was 17.88 acres, mature poplar, mature oak trees, had a 3,000-square-foot ranch, quarter-acre pond. So it's real kind of hard. It's very difficult to make my decision here. But at the same time, I just got clued into another form of food production that has an 8-day turnaround. It's something called microgreens, where you're basically growing sunflowers, pea shoots, and several other different types of greens, and you put them in a flat where they don't even necessarily need sunlight, and you stack a brick on top of them to give them a little bit of stress. And after like 5 or 6 days, you pull the brick over off the top of them, and you put them out in the sunlight. They grow up to be about 2 inches tall. You take a real sharp knife and you cut them off, wash them off, shove them in the cooler, and depending on how big of a bulk sale that you're making, it's between $8 and $15 a pound.
Wow.
So one thing I'm considering is because Maricopa County is an economic juggernaut. I don't want to live in there. There's too many people. It's too packed in. It's too stressful. But that economy, because there's so many crunchy granola types coming over from California and from Washington State and all that, they like juicing these things. They like eating them as salad mixes and all that. So it should be able to soak up all I can produce. So I found a property I'm going to look at it tomorrow, at least the interior. It's in a place called Valley Farms. It's just east of Coolidge. And it was actually set up by Eleanor Roosevelt, and it has all sorts of special dispensations for getting around all the laws about farming. Most of the laws that would apply to lots with houses under a certain size do not apply there, and they have been grandfathered in. In addition to all that, it gets irrigated nightly. It's included in the taxes. The taxes are $800 a year for a 2-acre property, which isn't big, but for what I'm doing, I don't need that much size. 2-acre property with a 1,200 square foot house, and the whole property can be flooded every night. So there's going to be no shortage of water, no issues of getting water. So what I'm thinking about doing is just starting small. My mom's a yoga teacher. She actually teaches at a health place where this woman sells herbs and different stuff like that. So I might be able to, right out of the gate, start selling to her, just put a cooler right in her place and start selling. So I'm still a little bit torn, but I'm thinking about switching gears. This new place will be on septic, so I won't have to worry about the Pinal County sewer Nazis wanting to charge me $600 a year, even if I don't put a single drop down the sewer. So just trying to put everything together. But one more thing I wanted to mention is, and I mentioned it last Friday, I think, when I was still in South Haven, is that there was a Black Lives Matter radio program going on in Arkansas, going on in Memphis, and then broadcasting over the border into Mississippi. And it seems like they're trying to stir the pot with this whole divide and conquer thing. And I got to listen to a lot of terrestrial radio, be it, you know, Limbaugh, Hannity, Mark Levin, the various different NPRs from all over the place. And they're taking all of the stuff that we're talking about, and they're trying to split it on one side or the other, and then confabulate it with support of the military and support of the police on one side, and on the other side, the open border policy and all this goofy stuff. So in many ways, I think we're definitely hitting the nail on the head with the type of stuff that we're talking about, because the enemy has been adapting their rhetoric and placing what we're talking on either side. So I imagine the whole point is so people can never get together. So we need to be real careful about this whole divide and conquer thing. We need to, you know, maybe focus on the idea of live and let live, you know, until somebody actually wrongs you. You know, we need to allow people to be who they are and all that stuff. And when they wrong you, we probably got to come down on them hard and not hesitate. There was a video that I was trying to get Spike to play, and I'm sure he'll mention it tomorrow. It was brought on YouTube by The Honey, and it showed a gentleman who I believe he was a district attorney in Pennsylvania, and the cops came after him for a mental health arrest. Came over his fence without permission. They busted in his door without permission. They supposedly had a warrant. They refused to show it to him, and they arrested him on a mental health check or mental health warrant. And we need to be we need to be watching our – and we need to be ready to defend ourselves when this type of thing happens, because it is quite potentially possible that once they get you under one of these mental health arrests, they'll give you chemical lobotomies. They have drugs that they can administer that will destroy your brain. You'll never be the same person. I'm not making that up. You can look into it. It's happened countless times. And it is also quite possible they could put you in a situation and use one of their assassins in prison and just straight up kill you.
I hear you. Yeah, I think the guy was broadcasting live on Facebook when it happened.
Exactly.
Exactly. And yeah, you know, it's going to come to that. They have to shut it down. I mean, they have to go for totalitarianism because there's nothing left. There is no credibility for them. I see what you're talking about on many in many forums with the Sean Hannitys and the Rush Limbaughs, and you know trying to take the issues. Well, they're you know, most of them are attorneys, so they know they try to twist it into, like you said, the right or left paradigm. Again, to divide, we should be against each other. That's why, you know, we push solidly for the Bill of Rights. It's absolute. It's only one way. And it's something that belongs to all of us and we can unite under. And that being said, David, like I said on in the email, you get everything squared away and you're ready to come back up and give it some more. Your place will be there.
Well, thank you, sir. I appreciate that. And I appreciate all the support from the listeners.
Right on, brother. You have a great day. Anyways, back into
you
this.
Too, Henry.
Thank you. And, you know, David was talking, and he may be right. I mean, I can't believe, well, Assad, you know, you try to think that, you know, he's been able to stay in there because of Putin, because of the Russian bear coming in to, you know, save the day. But then again, you hear, you know, Netanyahu going over to Russia, and he's giving marching orders to Putin the same as he is to the Trumpian company. And you got to wonder, and then you see the people who are getting slaughtered over there. Though it does look like the defense of Syria is in defense of the action in stopping the slaughter of Christians, and Jews like the Christians to be slaughtered. They like anybody to be slaughtered who isn't them, but they especially like to slaughter Christians in Russia. You know, 60 million Christians murdered in the gulags, ran by rabbis, and. It's certainly no different here, but, I mean, the rhetoric you hear, Assad, you know, he's an educated man. He was not an optometrist. It's the person that actually, it's like Rand Paul, the people who operate on your eyes. And it's difficult to say, but, you know, when I see him draw, they've already sold the oil beneath the Gaza Strip, and they need the timber, they want the timber, they want the fresh water, and, you know, this is, we've talked about it before, this is just a step, because after this is Lebanon, and then Jordan, and then, go ahead.
Yeah, you know, you just hit the key word, Lebanon. I was reading, Henry, that Putin and Iran and Assad are all looking to make Lebanon the great big banking central area now. They're trying to create, like, I think David hit the nail on the head. It's all about financials, and you've been talking about it too just now. They want Lebanon as a huge banking center, and Putin and Iran are right in the middle of it. It's all a big gang. They're all together on this thing. It's Assad, Putin, Iran, all of them.
Oh, absolutely. This is the international corporate mafia. And, you know, when the mafias were out in the open, I mean, what they did in the United, they tried to pretend like the mafias ceased to exist in our country. All they did was put INC behind their names. They'd be incorporated. And they're the same goddamn people doing the same thing. And they're doing it on a world basis now. You know, you're going to have different gangs. It's just like the Jewish mafia against the Italian mafia, against the Irish mafia, against the Russian mafia. Right here in the United States, it goes on every day. It's been going on forever, and it'll continue to go on until it's cleaned out. But, I mean, go ahead.
Yeah, well, Lebanon, isn't that the Hezbollah? They kicked Israeli butt.
Yeah, well, you know, when you see the rhetoric they put together, you can see what the intention was. I mean, when the love missiles were supposed to be fired the first time by Obama. Now, that was right after they signed on to this deal with our Senate, you know, the vote 99-0, that Netanyahu could actually take our troops. Netanyahu could take our troops into an aggressive war. We didn't even have to be that they'd been attacked. But I think the idea was when they were supposed to fire the love missiles the first time around was that, you know, they fired the love missiles at Syria from the U.S. warships. The Syria turns around. They know where the Love missiles are really coming from, and they fire on Israel. And then, oh, man, then we attack. We could get Syria forthwith. And then because Hezbollah, like you say, is a part of Lebanon, and that would be the next natural step. I mean, you might as well walk on in there and take that, too. And then you got Iran. You know, you're coming around to Iran there. Jordan's was sitting right there I guess it's to the south of it. You take Jordan and then straight up through. I mean, the idea has always been for the conquest of the Middle East for the goddamn Jews. There's no question about it. And eventually the conquest of the world. I mean, they're way behind on this, people. I think this was supposed to happen 10 years ago. And there, you know, with the 100 years of the Federal Reserve that came up during the time period, I mean, they're behind on their schedule. And the tripping point here is an armed American population that just isn't going along with it. The 75%, and that's why you see the David was talking about, you know, the Black Lives Matter. They got radio stations. You know, these people get millions of dollars. We said here, look at what we do and how long we've been doing it. I mean, constantly, you know, aggressively. And we barely struggle to get by. How is that so? I mean, it's because we're not the big money interests that want to take us over to that ditch and finally cash out our country. Now, nobody's stepping up to back our play here, because we're putting out the truth. We're putting out the truth for the 75% of the people who actually do not want nothing to do with international communism, who want nothing to do with national socialism. They want their goddamn Bill of Rights. They want their common law. They want their goddamn right to prosecute their own lives and live their own lives, left alone, free of these bastards. I mean, if things were on the up and up and we were fighting on a level playing field, we would have the advantage, because we got 75% of the people that should be back in our play right now, but they're not. Yeah.
I see a big divide that nobody talks about, is young and old.
Oh, yeah. That's something they've tried to foster, I mean, since, you know, when I was a kid, like the generation gap. I mean, you go back to my grandfather's time, the thought of a generation gap, people look at you like you're stupid if you even talked about it. And I know that was something that was pushed with the rest of the international communism in this country. Between me and my children, I mean, there was never no such thing. I mean, we're just people. But, yeah, I mean, young, old, rich, poor, black, white, green, yellow, man, woman. I mean, they've tried to divide us on gender. I mean, to think, back when I first started doing that, God, 100 years ago, to think that they actually believe that they could divide men against women. And they've done it. They've been, I mean, it's on small scale. They'll keep their tight-angled camera lenses beamed on a handful of people that have fallen for this shit, the bull dykes and the freak trannies. So, although nobody wants to be a man, nobody wants to be a woman, everybody just wants to be an it bullshit. That's what drives the goddamn world, man, is the male-female, I mean, the procreation of life. If it ever stopped, then the argument would be over, because there'd be nobody to argue. Go ahead.
Yeah, the young old is like the old people say, oh, it's that damn Social Security money. And the young people, you know, they're putting up with it. But after a while, they're going to say, hell, it ain't worth it. You know, I understand their position. I hate Social Security.
Oh, I have to agree 100%. But then what you got to understand is William Jefferson Clinton, you know, his big claim to fame is he balanced the budget. How do you balance that budget? You know, those baby boomers that everybody's worried about going to get their goddamn money that they paid in? They paid in more than any other generation. And that dirty son of a bitch, William Jefferson Clinton, he went into the Social Security Fund. You know the lockbox. You know your private account that would never be touched. Can't be touched. He went in there, and that's how he balanced the budget. He put a bunch of IOUs in there. And now they're telling these young people that they got to pay off those IOUs that they had. I mean, you talk about corruption of blood. I've thought about this many a time. You know, they put the clause in the Constitution that there will be no corruption of blood. What the hell is a national debt if not corruption of blood? And not to mention that it isn't our people's debt. The fact is, that is the money that is owed to us. It was borrowed from us. If people could just get that one single truth pounded into their heads, That money
was stolen. The young people aren't responsible. I'm sorry.
No, they're not. They're not responsible for it one bit, and I agree with you 110%, Charlie. They're not responsible for it one bit. But I'll tell you what, true wealth, the real wealth, doesn't go. I mean, they play these games with this fiat currency, these debt dollars, and these numbers in computers. But the fact is, true wealth cannot cease to exist. The real things like that are produced. That's how you create wealth. You take something and you make it more valuable by interacting with it physically, with your body. And the real wealth has been, I mean, ushered out of this country. It's being, well, right now it's being stolen wholesale because I'll tell you what, natural resources, raw resources, are real wealth. They haven't been touched, but they have to be mined, of course, but that's real wealth. And that's what they've been sucking out of our country is real wealth. And that real wealth is still out there. Everything they've stolen from us, the wealth of Saudi kings is out there that belongs to each and every one of us. We throw everybody out of here who came here as an act of fraud, take back everything that's been stolen from us over the last 100 years. And geez, I mean, everybody would have a really cush life is all I can tell you. Now, a lot of people say, this would be an argument you would get to, and I know it. Is you just can't have that kind of wealth. What, we're just because we're commoners? Is that what you're trying to say? That only kings and queens and heads of state can hold huge wealth? The people, I mean, this is the argument they used to take from the Indians, isn't it? Oh, they're too ignorant to handle their own wealth. This has been their whole theory through this taxation and taking of our resources, supposedly, because they know how to spend our money better than we do. With, $16 trillion missing that has been embezzled that they'll admit to.
Yeah, the government owns half the land in the United States. All we got to do is take that and distribute it out to the old people or whatever, whoever the veterans or whoever they owe money to.
Well, no, it's more than that. You're talking about, I'm telling you, the gold, the wealth, the true wealth that has been created from our natural resources. You got steel, iron, coal, what they're stealing from us right now with our goddamn oil. That wealth has been piled up, and they pile it up in tangible. I mean, you talk about like art, you know, there's things that they can hold their money in. That's what they put their money in. They don't hold their money in debt dollars, gold, silver, copper, name it. But that wealth is out there, and it belongs to us. It has been stolen straight up. I mean, in 2008, they admitted it. Oh, yes, it was international fraud, but you got to pay for it. You got to borrow money from those bankers to pay off those bad loans those bankers made. You got to pay them off 110%, and you're going to owe the money you borrowed from them back to them with interest. I mean, God, how stupid could people be? No, that wealth is out there, and it's tangible, and by God, we're going to take it. And, you know, we have a nuclear arsenal. I mean, they have done a really terrible thing to us, but to think that we can't get retribution is foolish. We do. We have the largest armed population on this planet, and we have a nuclear arsenal. They're giving it back. We're down at the bottom of the hour. We're going to take our bottom of the hour break. We'll be back in about 8 minutes. You're listening to The Word from the Trenches on PBFTT.
Your hands to yourself. Your hands to yourself.
Hey, old Dr. Bones here. Are you prepared to deal with medical issues in a disastrous situation? What would you do if medical help was not on the way? The Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook is over 400 pages of how-to advice written in plain English. You'll learn to handle all the likely medical issues you'll encounter in times of trouble. And it's not just the conventional medical wisdom. We talk about alternatives like essential oils, medicinal herbs, and other home remedies. Make the Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook a part of your survival library. And don't forget, Nurse Amy and I have medical kits, suture materials, instructional DVDs, and other items that'll help you keep it together even if things fall apart. Check them out, as well as 200 articles on medical preparedness, survival gardening, and other alternative remedies on our website at www.doomandbloom.net. Never think doom and gloom, think doom and bloom.
Divergent Flavor Labs introduces our all-original e-juice flavor line made from pure 100% kosher USP food-grade ingredients. Whether it's our flavored tobaccos like Calypso or our amazing bakery flavors like Crumbiliumptious, Divergent Flavor Labs' handmade all-original flavor line will never disappoint. Available exclusively through VaporsRebellion.com.
Turning first.
You're listening to The Word from the Trenches on Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches, 89.5 Micro FM, Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson. The Word from the Trenches is a listener-sponsored broadcast. If you'd like to help keep this programming on the air, go to FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com and hit that donate button. Or you can mail donations to Henry Shively at Post Office Box 964, Chiloquin, Oregon, 97624. Your contributions are appreciated. I'm your host, Henry Shively. It's 1239 Pacific Time, and that was Kid Rock with Born Free. And I was born free, and I've lived free, and I know what freedom is. And by God, what we're looking at today is not it. What we're looking at today is raw-ass tyranny. Has asset forfeiture gone too far? With the first goddamn time it violated the fourth article to our Bill of Rights, it was way too far. Whoever was perpetrating it should have been shot long before I was ever born. Truck seizure case sparks outrage, really. A call for change. Somebody's grabbing a hold of one of those little pieces of spaghetti and is going to try and untangle it from the ball when the whole ball needs to be knocked off the table and we need to start over. This is from Fox News. 2 years ago, Garrido, Serrano, you people don't think that there's 100 million of these bastards in your country? And look at the articles we read. How many names come up to be Hispanic or Asian anymore? Gerardo Serrano, an American citizen, Kentucky farmer, and a one-time GOP Kentucky State House candidate, was driving his brand-new $60,000 Ford F-250 pickup. He's probably been here a generation, so of course he's had the best my country has to offer. So I don't really have a lot of compassion. F-250 pickup truck to visit relatives in Mexico. Snapping pictures along the way when Customs and Border Patrol agents halted him at the border, demanded his cell phone, and asked him why he was taking pictures. I just wanted to open the opening of the bridge. I was going to take the opening of the bridge, the entrance of the bridge. That's all I wanted to do, Serrano told Fox News. As a self-proclaimed student of the Constitution, I'm sure he is. I'm sure he knows the Constitution better than any American national does. I'm sure he does. A self-proclaimed, so Obama was a self-proclaimed, well, no, he was a self-proclaimed professor of the Constitution. As a self-proclaimed student of the Constitution, Serrano said he knew his rights and protested to the Customs and Border Patrol agents vehemently when they asked him to unlock his phone. You need a warrant for that, he says, he told them. They searched his truck and found 5 bullets in a magazine clip that Serrano, a Kentucky concealed carry permit holder, forgot to remove before leaving his home. We got you, he says border agents told him. We got your truck is what we got. He was detained but never arrested, nor charged, nor tried, nor convicted. However, agents did seize his prized new truck. 2 years since its seizure, they have yet to give it back. Serrano is still making monthly payments of $673 on the truck, as well as paying for its insurance and Kentucky license fees. Well, you know, I would just quit paying for the son of a bitch and told the finance company to come repossess it. Wouldn't that have been the thing to do right out the gate? Oh, that could hurt your credit, though. Well, as soon as you get it back, you know, I'll pay all my back that I owe and take my pickup back. His attorney at the Institute for, you know, put it on the banks. His attorneys, because he's a studied scholar of the Constitution, his attorneys, which cannot even operate in the common law where this would be litigated if he truly understood who he was and what he was doing. But his attorneys, the constitutional scholar here's attorneys at the Institute for Justice, say Customs and Border Patrol has told them the truck was subject to government's civil asset forfeiture program because it was used to transport munitions of war. Wow. The civil asset forfeiture program has its roots in English law that American colonists rebelled against. Duh. I mean, that's why they talk about, you know, there any time like Trump wanting to bring up the Constitution, all this stuff, and constantly bringing up the founding and this, what it was founded upon, what this democracy when it's a republic was founded upon, this whole charlatan bullshit, this American colonists rebelled against. Well, yeah, they did. Their rebellion was ultimately codified in the Fourth Amendment, which reads, in part, the right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated. Despite the unambiguous language, civil assets forfeiture was revived in the 1930s. Well, then I guess it was a violation of the ninth article that said they couldn't touch those goddamn rights, wasn't it? In the 1930s, the people should have risen up and shot the first bastard that thought he was going to remove that any of that fourth article, huh? They should have stood up and said, we got the ninth article that says you can't touch it. And we got the second article that says you are not going to touch it. But they didn't. In the 1930s, they left it for Henry. Prohibition era against bootleggers and mobsters. It was that they were the bootleggers. I mean, you know, it's just like Al Capone. He owned the goddamn police forces. He owned the mayor's office. He was the mayor of Chicago. And they were all bought off just like they are today. Only the mafia, the mafiosas themselves hold the cabinet positions and hold the legislative positions and hold the Senate positions and hold the judiciary positions. Despite an unambiguous language, civil assets forfeiture was revived in the 1930s. What I mean, revived, think what they're saying there. We just did away with the fourth article in the 1930s. We just decided to revive it. The government was zero authority to do so. The same government that put that 14th Amendment in there started plugging the rest of it in, didn't they, in the 1930s. They started plugging in, well, you're going to have equal justice, and it's going to equal access and equal justice, and it's going to be none. But it will be equal. Prohibition era against bootleggers and mobsters. It was revived again in the 1980s. War on drugs. Oh boy, just and who was running the drugs? The goddamn government. The same government. I mean, they. How many times do we have to watch it? It's just like the Islamic threat. Where did it come from? Well, they created it. Where did the necessity for a drug war come from? Well, it was from the government running the drugs in. And they, you know, if they could get a $40 billion industry trying to stop what they were doing when they're running it, you know what I'm saying here? It's kind of like a mafia scam, isn't it? War on drugs and continues to this day. It's absolutely astonishing that civil forfeiture is a policy that we have in this country. It's not astonishing. It is a violation of the Bill of Rights is what it is. A violation of the people's authority. Said Clark Nelly of the Cato Institute. It is totally unjust, unfair, and I think it's unconstitutional. Really, do you think that? You run into Cato Institute and everything. Do you really think so? I mean, we read the fourth article. We know what the fourth article says. It's goddamned, it is an infringement and a violation of the fourth article, and I think it could be, maybe, perhaps, it could be unconstitutional. No, it's not unconstitutional. It is a violation of the people's Bill of Rights. It's a violation of the people and our authority. And our right to own our property free of any goddamn government. It's any government's authority to take it away from us. Because none can exist. That's what the Bill of Rights says. Senator Rand Paul, Republican Kentucky, agrees. There are instances of people, young people, getting some money and saying, I'm moving to California from Boston. They're stopping in some small towns in Nevada, and they have $1,000 and their dad gave them to get started, Paul said. And the police just, well, take it and say, you prove to us that it's not drug money. Well, I guess that's just goddamn strong-armed robbery, then, isn't it, by the king's men. It's not even the king's men, because this is corporate. All of these goddamn policing agencies across this country are private. That's why this, in theory, if you really took them to task on it, this is why they would tell you they don't even have to recognize your Bill of Rights, because they're operating under the Uniform Commercial Code. They're within their corporate policies, and your goddamn, your shit don't matter. The only problem being is that you can have no contractual law or any kind of authority created that isn't based in the base authority of the Constitution for this country. And the ninth article says that there can be no authority to create any contract or any kind of a goddamn private corporation that can violate the Bill of Rights. This is the argument. I mean, this is the simple argument that nobody seems to want to take them to task on. Why? Because it's cut and dry. There is no argument. It says what it frickin' says. Morgan Wright, a senior fellow at the Center for Digital Government, spent 20 years as a police officer and detective in Kansas. He cites the benefits of civil action for, well, the benefits is you get to steal from people. You get to take their goddamn property in violation of their rights, in violation of the law, the cornerstone of the law of this country, the absolute law that cannot be violated without committing treason. We seized everything from cars to houses to money to jewelry to you name it, he said. One of the cash seizures I had plans for a methamphetamine. See, they got to throw this in. It was for a you know what? You can't stop people from having methamphetamine laboratory in this goddamn country. Only an American national can do anything to somebody who has a methamphetamine laboratory, and they would have to do some damage to somebody or commit a crime against them. And it would be a civil crime prosecuted by that person through his authority, because this goddamn fraudulent government has no authority to prosecute any American national, period. Never has, never will. Anything to the contrary is pure, raw fraud. They had documented intelligence that they had people working in these operations, people selling cocaine. Well, you know what? We can sell cocaine to one another, whether you like it or not. We can put anything in our body that we want, because you have no authority over us. And unless we damage the rights or damage the property or the rights of another American national, it's none of your goddamn business. How about that? And no, you're not obligated to save me from a heart attack or save me from dying of cocaine overdose or anything else. You just ain't. And I don't want you to be. I just want you to leave me alone. Cartel activity out of Mexico. This is a cartel. That's why we got to do it. How in the hell did the cartels get in the United States? Well, the goddamn, this so-called federal government, this occupation, it is the cartels. It is the cabal. Wright acknowledges asset forfeiture may have gone too far with the second that it violated, the first time that it violated that fourth article to our Bill of Rights. It was way too far. It should have been shut down then. But the people back then, I mean, they had them living cush, man. Nobody wanted to rock the boat. Everybody was just, they had some really fine scraps coming off their table, even though you were getting screwed, glued, and prelude, and everything taken from you. Your natural resources, they were piling up mountains of wealth while they were giving you just a petty little bit. But that petty little bit was a whole lot compared to the rest of the world, wasn't it? So you just laid down and you let it happen and you left this shit for me. Thank you very much, you cowardly, spineless pieces of shit. And I would piss on your graves if I could get to them for doing this to me. Gone too far. One of the worst things you can do in law enforcement, there's no law enforcement in this goddamn country. There is not. There is goddamn constables. And there is sheriffs elected from among the people, people's offices that we control, that are there to assist us in asserting our authority and our jurisdictions, period. You have no power, government. Everything you're doing is a usurpation of the limited power that we granted you. It is a lie, it is a fraud, and it's going to come back to bite you on your goddamn treasonous asses. Law enforcement is to take a good tool and abuse it. No, you could never have that tool. It's been a violation of the people since you did the first time you enacted. I don't give a damn if it was a mobster or who it was. This is how they sold us on it. They allowed these goddamn mobsters. I mean, they helped these mobsters put down the people. The goddamn corrupt police forces let them go and gun people down, come into your goddamn business and tell you, you need some insurance from me. And Big Lou sitting down at the end of the counter. It'd be terrible if somebody blew up your business, wouldn't it, Big Lou? And it'd be terrible. Better buy some insurance from me. And the goddamn cop sitting there with a wink and a nod and a brown envelope in the side of their shirt, taking their goddamn bribes, letting it build and build and build until it was a huge problem, like the radical Muslims. And boy, what was the remedy for that? We got to create an agency with power over these individuals. We have to have some kind of government, because the people could have dealt with it. And the fact is, in 1938 or 1933, when they did the first Gun Control Act, you know why they did it? They would know why they outlawed machine guns and hand grenades and sawed-off shotguns? Because they had to pretend that they were attacking this crime wave that they had created, that they had allowed, that they had assisted, because the people were starting, when the goddamn cars would come out and the guy with his machine gun would jump up on the rail of the car. And, they just robbed the bank and head down to town, and everybody in town's money was in that car. The people started coming out with their goddamn big bore rifles, and they were shooting them up. So they had created the problem. And the solution was the FBI, an illegal agency created with no authority, just like the 14th article. There's no authority for it. The people never granted any authority for any government policing of them. In fact, it is forbidden by the 9th article. Nonetheless, problem, reaction, solution. So the solution, now look what that FBI, that good old FBI that was going to come and get rid of them bad guys is doing these days, people. Foreign countries and going around the goddamn world just as a strong arm for the corporate mafia. That's what they are. They're mafia. It was, was it really creating any kind of policing or anything? It was just creating someone else that had to be bribed and bought off and become a part of the mafia. And finally, the mafia got so big, they just incorporated and called themselves the United States of America with a big U. Incorporated. And that's who's been running the joint since the rewriting of the Constitution after the so-called Civil War. Period. It's just gotten so goddamn blatant of late. I mean, this is what it finally has to happen. I mean, power corrupts, total power corrupts totally, excuse me. And I think we're seeing total corruption right now. Total tyranny. And you have this shit dog, this right acknowledges asset forfeiture may have gone too far. You went too far the first time you did it. Because the Bill of Rights is absolute and it says you cannot do it. Not even one time. Not even a little bit. It's absolute law. You can't touch it. And that's what the ninth article says. You cannot do it not even one time. Not even a little bit. Or else you're breaking the law and you need to be punished for what you're doing. And now it's just become, well, it's standard operating procedure. Piss on the Bill of Rights. Piss on the people. And after your War Powers Act removed the common law courts and our authority, boy, it's been a pretty easy ride for you so far. But then, you know, the inevitable result is we have to fall back on the second article and we have to blow your asses out of our country so that we can live free and be left alone again by you unspeakable sons of bitches. Right said. So that restrictive regulations come down on it and it's taken away from everybody. No, it's taken away from you, you mobster, criminal, creep, son of a bitch. You never had that authority. It was a lie. All of it's been a lie. We understand the lie now. We understand that your intent. I was watching a conversation back and forth on the site about John F. Kennedy. And Katie pointed out that, you know, he went and signed the War Powers Act too, and he sure as hell did. But he was just trying to ratchet it back, and they shot a president. Yeah, how serious are they about it? It's just like these illegals. You know, they're finally coming out, and they're saying, no, we're all staying here. This is our goddamn country, gringo. And we're taking it from you. Well, then, I guess it might be time to pick up that goddamn gun and deal with the problem, don't you think? At what point do you pick the gun up? Somebody comes in your house. They're standing in your house uninvited. They've broken into your house. Leave the guns laying there. When he starts to rape your wife, I mean, at what point do you pick up that gun and blow that son of a bitch away? We're way past the goddamn red line, people. These son of a bitches are walking around in broad daylight right in our faces committing blatant treason. And tyranny upon our people. And we just stand there looking at the gun. Boy, we got the gun. Thank God we have the gun. At some point in the ball game, you got to grow a spine and pick that son of a bitch up and jack around in. And you got to be serious enough to pull that trigger. Or that gun don't mean shit. They'll take it from you and beat your ass with it. How about that? Because you ain't got the guts to pull a trigger. It's gone too far, people. And there's only one way out. And you better grow a spine and get used to the idea and get your mind right. Because these son of a bitches aren't backing up one inch. Don't think they will. That being said, we're at the top of the hour. We will be back tomorrow, 12 Pacific, 3 Eastern, for another broadcast of the Word from the Trenches on PBFTT. Until then, pick that son of a bitch up and at least look at it and think about it. And that is
my
the...
My dad told me...
What?
My dad told me if you take it out, you use it. You don't get warning shots.
My dad, too. He said you take it out, there's fire coming out the barrel. They'll take it away from you and use it on you. And that's the goddamn truth. And that is the word from the trenches.